Today, I want to help you shift your mindset about what happens when big trials or that verse in Proverbs that says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Well, that sudden fear is talking about these unexpected things that come into your life, bad news or a change of plans or canceled plans. And often when these things come in, we think our life is on hold, but that's not how God wants us viewing the trials that He allows into our lives, even if it's a big thing like a loss of a spouse or a cancer diagnosis or something very serious like that. Our lives in Christ are never to be stagnant and not moving and growing because we are in Christ and He is in us and He is alive and always abundant with life. And that's how we need to be. So what you're going to hear today is I'm trying to explain to view these trials in a different way. Instead of seeing your life as a highway and you're just moving along and you're growing in the Lord and you're doing all the things you do and then wham, a big trial hits you. Instead of seeing you've got this big roadblock in your life now, we need to see that these trials are a part of the highway. They are part of the map. They're not even necessarily a detour because it's part of God's plan. Our trials shape who we are and who God needs us to be so that we can be used by Him in the plan that He has for our future. It's so important that we don't allow ourselves to say, when this trial is over, my life can keep going. When I get this thing I'm waiting for, my life can keep going, but it's on hold. I can't live until, and then fill in the blank. That is not scriptural. So that's what I'm explaining today. Now, this is another car ride episode, so please be gracious as you hear me driving. The sound quality is not super duper awesome, but this is a episode that I actually recorded before I had the podcast. Before I had the More Power Than You Think podcast, God was warming me up to the idea, meaning I used to send a written devotional to the other Christians that God had put into my life through an email list. And He was starting to warm me up to speaking the devotional instead. And He would just give me these ideas and these things on my heart that I just felt compelled to share while I'm driving. And don't worry, I'm always safe. I always love it when He gives me things in the moment and He puts it on my heart to record it in the moment because God literally is speaking to me in my heart while I'm talking to you in these car ride episodes. So again, this is before I had the podcast. God was warming me up to speaking my devotionals instead of writing them. But the value of the content, if you apply the message that God was speaking to me about to your life and to what you might be calling roadblocks, it's going to help you to see them in a different light and hopefully help you to see that your life is not on hold. It's just different right now. You may have to slow down or change the way you're doing things, but you're still moving forward in Christ. You're still growing. You are still alive, and there's a momentum to life. So I do hope it's a blessing to you and an encouragement. And then just a little behind the scenes look, boy, God has really had me busy with ideas. It's almost overwhelming, actually. He's given me so many podcast episode ideas. I am continuing to work and study on what we talked about last week, which was about the revelation that we are to love ourselves as we love our neighbor and permission from Scripture to love ourselves. And I've been studying self-compassion. I've been studying scientific research on self-compassion. There are over 4,000 studies now that they have done on self-compassion. And there's so much data and research on why this is a good thing for us to speak to ourselves with respect and kindness. And I tie that into Scripture. So that subject is continuing to unfold. I have thousands of words of study and research just from last week on this topic, and I can't wait to share it with you. I also wanted to give you a heads up that in May, that is Mental Health Awareness Month, and the entire month of May, I am only going to talk about mental illness. I have bipolar, so I do have a perspective of firsthand experience, and I'm very burdened by the stigma in our Christian circles about it. I am preparing for that also already, and I do hope that you'll tune in. It will be a very special month of episodes, and then I'll return to my normal content. But here is that episode. It's called The Highway of Your Life. I do hope you'll enjoy it, and I will talk to you next week. Welcome to the More Power Than You Think podcast. I'm Jennifer Scow. After receiving a bipolar diagnosis in 2013, God taught me that His solution to the messiness of life was not changed circumstances, but rather a transformation of the mind to Christ's perspective. More Power Than You Think refers to the power we have to be changed and transformed based solely on what we think and believe in our mind. Renewing the mind is so much more than overcoming thoughts of depression and anxiety. It is choosing thoughts that have the power to unify instead of divide, love instead of hate, surrender instead of resist. It is the key to loving God properly, getting through suffering without accusing God, and prevents regret, sin, shame, and guilt. Everything we do today begins with a thought in our mind and what we choose to do with it. On this podcast, we learn to renew the mind in every area of our lives so we can live, love, and be loved in the way Christ intended. I'm on my way to church on a Sunday morning, and this past week, the subject of cancer has come across my path several times, and early in the morning, the past three mornings, I've woken up at 3 a.m. I'm not sure why, but where my thoughts went this morning was how when these big trials come in our lives, like cancer, that often we feel like our life is on hold until it's over. When we have that thought process, it's like we have created a roadblock on our path of life. Like if you imagine our life like a big highway that has many, many lanes, and when everything's going well and there's no changes happening, things are pretty stable, then maybe picture just two lanes on that highway, you and God. And there's nothing interrupting things. There's no trials that are causing detours. It's just you and God, and things are going along smoothly. And often when there's a transition or a trial or we're waiting for something, like, oh, my life is on hold until we become pregnant. My life is on hold until I get married. My life is on hold until I graduate and get my degree. You know, we put our life on hold for so many reasons. And if you imagine that highway of your life again, then add that lane, add a third lane, and put that thing in it. The mindset that we want to avoid is having a roadblock in that lane, a big, huge stop sign that says, stop, don't move, you can't go anywhere till this is over. And that's actually not God's desire. The way that I believe God would want us to look at these things that we're waiting for, whether they be joyful or not, or the trials that we know are going to last for a season, or a new way of life that is inevitable now. Maybe we've become a paraplegic, or we've lost our hearing, or something like that. I believe that God wants us to, rather than having a roadblock, He wants us to look at it as another road added to our highway that continues on in parallel to the road of the middle, which is us, and that outside lane, which is God. And we just grasp hands and we walk through life together. We're supposed to continue living. Life is not supposed to stop. I mean, Jesus says He wants us to have abundant life. Well, a stagnant life on hold is not abundant. If you think of life as water, like a big waterfall, that's abundant. It just keeps flowing. It keeps moving, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, sometimes gently, sometimes outrageously, but it's moving. And life is sustained by that movement. But when we look at either a trial like cancer and we say things like, well, my life is on hold till this is over, or if we're wanting to be pregnant and it's just not happening and God is not opening your womb at this time, and you say, well, my life is just on hold until I have a baby, until I become a mother, you're missing out on living. Because first of all, we don't know how God is going to grant our requests or if he's going to fulfill those desires. He may have a different plan. So then we've put our life on hold. One of my dear ones in my life is really struggling because they're single and they're almost 30. And they're very grieved by that. And in their mind, they feel like life can't happen unless they find a special person to share it with. They really want a spouse. Just to try to give this dear one perspective, I said, so when you're 90, if God didn't allow you to get married, are you going to just look back and say, what a wasted life, I never got married? Or are you going to look back and see that you chose to keep living anyway? That you just chose to look for life in other places, to find contentment in other ways, to allow God to be enough? So if you're waiting for something, an answer to prayer, a transition, a vacation, or you've got a big trial that you know has moved in either permanently or for a season, try not to allow yourself to let that be a roadblock that says, stop, life can't go on, everything's over. Because that's not God's desire, and that's not how God moves. God is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is living, and the Word of God is alive. So whenever we put God back in the picture, things aren't stagnant. Things move forward. So think of your trial or this time of waiting. Maybe you're even waiting to overcome loss. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and you feel like life cannot continue until you are over this grief. Try to change your mindset so that you don't have regret. I'm not saying that there's not going to be times where there's grief and where things do seem to stand still. We are human and God allows for grief, and there's a time of adjustment, isn't there? If we have a big trial that has entered suddenly where we feel like things are on hold, there is an adjustment period of getting your faith back fixed on God, right? Like, let's say you have a cancer diagnosis. There's an adjustment period. You didn't expect that to happen. So I'm not saying that we're going to be superhuman and we're not going to go through grief and we're not going to have to alter our lifestyle or make changes. I'm saying try not to think of it as the highway is now blocked, the highway of your life, but instead think of it as adding another lane to your life. So now it's you in one lane, holding God's hand in the next lane, and then really God probably holding the hand of the trial rather than you, because cast your cares upon him, right? He's the one who takes our burdens and carries them. So let's put us on that far left lane. Let's put God in the middle lane and we're holding his hand, and let's put that trial or that change that we're waiting for, or the loss or the grief or whatever it is that's making us feel like we have to wait and stop living, and we'll let God hold that burden in his hand. And notice that we are moving forward together. That's God's desire, that we live abundantly, that we have peace at all times, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Peace is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on the things that we wish we could have, like a child, getting married, getting a degree, whatever it is we're seeking, losing weight. Like, I can't live until I'm at a certain weight. Oh, we're missing out when we think like that. Choosing to keep living while we're in a trial doesn't have to be these big monumental steps. It's just a decision that you're not going to stay on hold, that while you're waiting, you're still moving forward on that highway of life. The momentum is still moving forward. Just an idea or an example of how, even in the midst of deep grief, you can keep living. I imagine someone having such deep grief that they just can't move from the couch. They just can't even move. They're just drowning in it. It's just so painful. But a way, a small way, that you can start living again is to just notice the life that's around you. Notice the people in the room. Try to start noticing the small evidences of God's hand without even getting off the couch. Is that something that you could do? I would like to end by listening to a song I wrote called While You Wait. And it's about living while you're waiting. The first verse is about someone who is waiting for an answer to prayer. And they've just put their life on hold. And the second verse is about someone who just keeps messing up. And they just wonder, when, how long will it be before I get this thing of life right? And the last verse is about someone who's grieving. And they just want this season of tears to be over. And their life just feels like it's on hold. And the chorus encourages the listener to keep living while you're waiting for these things.
Your eyes are on the future, on the answer to your prayer. You've put everything else on hold. You don't see your life is passing by. Redeem your time. You must keep living while you wait. Another failure knocks you down. The all or nothing thoughts begin. Redeem your